This is...
Wow! What a week.
What a week. Politrix.
Hey, Ta, Dumelang. Hello, how are you doing? Welcome to another installment of Wow, What a Week, hashtag Politrix. My name is Fresh. His name is Botsang Modimoame Moilwa. Brother B, how are you doing?
Yeah, good morning, Fresh, and I'm good.
Looking like you just stepped off the cover of GQ magazine again.
Maybe this is going to be a trend from now moving forward.
What's going on, my man? Are you going Nothing. Through your... Well, when even your phone realizes that this guy is...
I press things that I don't know. Nothing's going on, Tato, man.
Yeah, can we move your mic closer to you?
Closer?
Yeah.
Is it fine?
Okay, yeah, it's perfect.
Thank you.
How are you, brother?
I'm okay, man.
Yes, sir.
And how are you?
Kishap. I'm happy to see you. Always happy to see you.
I've been relaxing these holidays.
Yeah.
It's been hectic, but I've been relaxing.
When you have children, holidays are not time off. Holidays are time to think out the box about what we're going to do with these kids.
The following morning.
Because unfortunately, like us, Generation Xers, we are the original latchkey kids.
Mm-hmm.
Those are children you can leave alone.
Alone, yeah.
And you know they'll be safe. They're not going to burn down the house. They're not going to kill themselves. Somehow they eat. They might even leave home at 7 in the morning and come back at 7 in the evening. But you can tell, well, this child ate somewhere. We are those people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Our parents could rely on us without stressing when they're at work.
Okay, there's a time I burnt down our garage. I think it was in grade 2. But that's a story for another day. Generally, they could leave me alone and they knew that everything would be okay.
I'm sure my mom will tell a different story about me. I was well behaved until I left home.
Yeah, but you left home like when you were 15, 16.
Yeah.
To be a freedom fighter.
Hey.
Eh?
On a freedom week.
Yeah, you're not a normal child. You're never a normal child.
No, man.
So hence I'm saying, so school holidays, and unfortunately nowadays, is your children saying, what are we doing today? Go outside and play. What do you mean, what are we doing today? Go outside and play.
Oh, outside. They never go outside, these kids. They never go.
We have a deal now.
Yeah, you
TV for an hour, then you go outside. So you must decide which hour. Then you must go outside.
Ouch. Yeah, no. A hardline dad.
No, it's not a hardline dad. These kids need to learn. And once in a while, I want to just throw a chicken out there and say, that's lunch for today. You guys must see to finish. You know, if there was an apocalypse today, our children would probably not be able to survive.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, they'll die of starvation.
In grade 3, I could hunt a bird, de-feather it, gut it, keep it, say, on a fire,
yeah,
and eat it. By grade 3.
Or chase rabbits out there.
Exactly. Or guinea fowl. We'd kill guinea fowls out in the bush. If we found them with eggs, we would boil the egg. We'd find an old tin can, boil the eggs, eat guinea fowl eggs.
You must sit down with my 2000 and tell them those stories. We will tell you that, though. That's for ancestors.
If the world ended today, my 2000 would die in a week.
They will not survive. I always tell my kids that if I leave them 3 days in the house, I'll find them dead of hunger.
Yeah.
While there's food in the house.
Exactly.
Just they don't want to prepare, they don't know how to prepare.
Yo, but anyway, let's keep it moving. There's a story that has captured the imagination of most South Africans, including conspiracy theorists. Three police constables leave Bloemfontein in a VW Golf. Heading to Polokwane.
Yes.
And at some stage, they disappear.
Yeah, I've heard about that story. I've been following it, actually.
And now their bodies were found in the Hennops River.
Exactly 900 meters from my house.
I know. Their bodies were found in the Hennops River, but there is no car.
Mm.
But also, another car was found with a body in it. Coincidentally, it's the body of a missing police officer.
Yes.
So already conspiracy theorists' tails were up. That was this a hit? Were they taken out? And then there's a fifth body that was also found.
Yes. That's a different point. Just line me up on this one. The other police officer who was stationed at Centurion Littleton Police Station as a clerk or an admin officer.
Sure.
Was the body found in the car? It was, I thought it was found with the other.
No, they were looking for these three people.
Yes.
And then they found an officer who'd been, we were told he went missing a couple of days prior. So while they're looking for these three, they find this other one still in his baki.
Was it trapped in the car?
He was trapped in his baki.
Okay.
And then they found another body that was slightly more decomposed, meaning this body had been in the Hennops River.
For a long time.
So the Hennops River has been busy.
Tato, I don't know what the conspiracy is saying, but following the police, I think it's going to be a very complicated case.
Why?
Because let me tell you, the first thing that happened, and the police have confirmed it, is that these three police officers, their homes is in Bloemfontein.
Yes.
And two, one lady and a guy, they were a couple.
So.
So these two who were going to work in Polokwane, they were home for holidays. They were time off.
Sure.
Now, the interesting part of it is that, and I listened to Brigadier, the spokesperson.
Atlanta Mati.
Yes. Saying, and that actually took me a little bit aback.
Do you know if she's married? I'm asking for a friend.
I don't know, my friend. Okay. I've been trying to find out myself.
I'm asking for a friend. Hi, Brigadier.
I like her so much.
I like her even more.
The way she conducts herself in work. But
these
two officers that were deployed to Polokwane.
Sure, they were going back to that post, basically.
They were going for the first time there to Polokwane.
Okay.
What she explained is they are crime intelligence officers that are deployed for this operation Falun Gong.
Yes.
So they rotate them for security reasons. If you were in the Northwest for 3 months, then you go to another province 3 months, then they were going to start the following day in Polokwane. That will be a new location.
Sure.
So the third lady was just accompanying the boyfriend.
So they unakapa her boyfriend.
Yes. Now, as they were driving, the first thing happens where the tracking device of the vehicle and their three cell phones, they went dead. In at the filling station, when that was the last time it worked, they stopped functioning there.
No, didn't they stop functioning by the Hennops River?
No, the police had reported that the last tracking device, where they saw them, the last tracking,
sure.
They stopped functioning at that garage where they failed, and they saw them on the surveillance that they were in that garage. That was the last time they could be tracked.
Ah, is that why then they use the cameras on the gantries, the E2 gantries?
So that's where the sunrise.
But the car was still moving, though.
The car was still moving.
Okay.
Now this is my question.
Okay.
Do we know who was driving that car? Why all three cell phones are off and the tracker died? Understand? The police had to rely on the cameras on the countries and the central cameras. Central cameras are in the highways and most of the parts in the intersections. So based on the cameras, that's why they could see that they passed Batlu Interchange, they passed Midrand. Again, I picked up something on the police report. And for me, that was a key part. And people were like, "Man, Butang, why are you combing the wedding?" The police report statement says, then they drove on to John Foster Drive in Centurion. So for me, that means they off-ramped into John Foster Drive.
Okay.
For me.
Oh, yeah, because that's your neighborhood.
Yeah. All I'm saying,
the English implies the off-ramp.
The English implies the off-ramp.
At 2 in the morning.
Then my question became, if they were going to Polokwane and you are on the N1, you go under John Foster Drive. You don't off-ramp onto John Foster Drive.
Maybe they were going to a coffee, Centurion.
Yeah, or anything.
Just to get a quick
anything,
snack.
Or to Chisanyama Centurion, wherever. So if you off-ramp, if you on-ramp into John Foster, you're already out of there. And however, the bodies were discovered approximately, it's less than a kilometer, because from John Foster Drive to that Hennops, where the bodies were recovered, it's just after John Foster. You know, on the right-hand side, it will be that Ford garage and macro. On the left, it's John Foster. And the bodies were found there. So why would they have off-ramped and on-ramped again?
Okay.
It's also my question. But the other vehicle that was found, It was actually found last week Saturday. Last week Saturday, there were many helicopters, police, and what, they were roving around Centurion area. And that vehicle was found on the other side, not exactly where these people were found. And look, Fresh, it could be an accident. It will depend where they discover the car. If they discover the car in Hennops River, it could be an accident, but I doubt. From my observation, I passed that road twice this week to look, will it be possible from the Sanral N1 road for a vehicle to jump this metal plate, and there's a wall, there's a concrete wall, and went over to that site. I'm saying it's not possible. It doesn't. You will have to come with a...
Are you saying chances are the bodies were dumped into the Hennops River?
I strongly suspect that the bodies were dumped.
And that if their car had, for argument's sake, aquaplaned and then fallen into the river,
it torpedoed.
By now the vehicle would have been recovered.
Would have been recovered. And there's something also. I took a walk there with friends. If that vehicle had fallen from the N1 into Hennops, there's a part of Hennops just behind Macro towards the stadium, the cricket stadium. A vehicle size will not pass on that passage.
So it would have jammed there.
It would have jammed somewhere there.
Okay.
You understand? Police have now reported that they found the debris of some parts of the vehicle, a bumper, and they look like they are Polo product. Yesterday, they announced that they found some piece of metal that may look like, but they haven't confirmed if it's for the Polo. If that car went over on the bridge, which I say it's impossible, and there's no marks there,
sure,
it's highly unlikely. Look, people say the torpedo, maybe it was driving 200 kilometers per hour, then it flew torpedo and dove in there. The car would have been recovered by now. Like the other one that they recovered last week Saturday.
That's why for me it makes more sense that the car tracker and the cell phones losing signal at the same time would have been upon contact with the water.
Probably.
Hence, my understanding was
they lost contact in Hennops.
Because for all four trackers to go dead at the same time, something should have happened at the same time,
For
that to happen.
Yes. Yes, I agree with you.
Which for me then suggests that chances are, because it was also raining.
Heavily raining. The rains of last year were heavily rains.
So my private investigator mind says chances are either someone fell asleep and the car went over, or they aquaplaned while asleep and went over, or they aquaplaned while awake and went over.
Well,
and chances are maybe seatbelts were not worn, hence the car might have ejected them in the river.
Tato, you know, I've been in many accidents and I've seen accidents reconstructed.
Yeah.
If that happens, there should be signs there.
There
was some accident. There should be an accident signs there. You understand? And I think once the police find the vehicle, it will tell us. But my conclusion on this matter is there's a third force involved, and it's a suspicion. It could be an accident. If they found the car at Hennops, my next question will be, how did it jump that bridge? Because that wall is very high. It's not like a short wall. I'm telling you, you can come with the best 4x4. It won't go over. You will have to ram that wall in and go in there.
Sure.
But if then it went over that wall, I don't know what speed that vehicle could have been driving to can do that. But why are the parts still there as well? Where is the vehicle? The fact that the vehicle is not in that vicinity, because to move from N1 with that river to the other side of the river where it actually goes under N14, it is approximately 2 kilometers.
Sure.
So that vehicle should have stuck along that stream or along the Centurion Mall, you know, where because the river passes there as well.
Sure.
But it's a wait-and-see situation. It's a very sad situation. And also the autopsy report will tell if luckily they found the bodies quicker.
Sure.
No, not in a decomposer. It will tell if there were any injuries or harm or what could have been the cause. But, you know, for families, it's very sad. These were young kids.
Sure.
Another question that I have, if Brigadier Mate was correct, why would the police, you know, a constable is an entry level, and they were young, at 21, most probably, they just came out of college.
Yeah.
Why would you have crime intelligence as a constable? I had found that a little bit weird.
But surely you need people from all spectrums of life in crime intelligence. Surely.
Yeah, maybe to say use young ones to can catch these young drug dealers and all
exactly.
That. Yeah, but I've always thought they are undercover operatives. They are not known. No. Okay, maybe they mentioned now. Also thought you must have had an acquired experience over the number of years. I'm not an expert in the police issues, but I thought it would make more sense to have a crime intelligence officer at a little bit higher rank. But you are raising an important part.
You need someone who can blend in somewhere.
Yeah, like if you want to plant people among youth who are naughty
exactly.
in the township, you better use a youth, a young person who knows how they operate. But I hope, but look, we must congratulate all the forces, SANRAL and the traffic.
The coordination. Yeah.
They moved swiftly. And people always say SAPS doesn't work. I don't know whether they moved because it was their members. But SAPS members get killed all the time. But they moved swiftly and it worked.
And finally, we can justify the use of those e-toll gantries.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it was the gantries or it was the SANRAL cameras, but either way, they've served a nice purpose.
There's also a story that either scrapyard people or tow people might have towed that car and left the bodies there.
Now, why would they do that?
For spare parts.
Not scrapyard. You mean the towing vehicles?
Yeah.
Towing vehicles know that there's cameras in that vicinity.
It would have been picked up at some stage.
It would have been picked up.
I think it's in the river.
Well, I don't know how deep is Hennops, but the police should have...
Or how far she flows. We'll see.
Hennops flows up to Macaulay's and after
exactly.
Years.
Exactly.
Well, let's hope the police will find closure on this. Yeah.
Anyway, let's keep it moving. We should be in day three of the new VAT rate, but we're back here.
My brother, you know, I
firstly, let's talk about the court ruling.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think let's talk about how, you know, politics is just, it's almost like politics is about how well you can lie and get away with it, or how well you can spin your loss. And get away with it.
The way the African National Congress has spinned this whole thing.
Even the smaller parties are wanting to take credit for everything, when in the bigger scheme of things, if we were being honest, had the DA not taken this to court and challenged it, and the EFF joined them, chances are we'd be paying more of that today.
Exactly. No, Tato. They won. The ANC leading all the small parties, they are lying. Yes, there were negotiations. Yes, there were engagements Rise Mzansi and all others, Action SA. There were engagements, definitely. But the honest truth is the court, even before the decision of the court, because the court ruling... somebody was asking me, if there was an out-of-court settlement, why does the court issue a court order? No, they do. Even if you agree to settle outside court, you must bring your agreement to court.
Yes.
So that the court can make it a court order. You don't just agree in corners and then you say, no, we are not coming to court. No. You agree, you sign an agreement, you bring it to court, the court will issue it as a court order, even if it's an out-of-court settlement. So there were any debates and discussions and witnesses and all those things. So, to be honest and fair and square, you are correct. The DA application supported by the EFF, it actually resulted, and I read that court order. You know, I managed to get the whole court. I read it, and you could see the order is very clear. Also, the night before the big announcement, what do they call it? The DA went out because they always jump. You know, they're like Donald Trump. They always go and claim victory and all that. What was important for me, it was not the claims of the DA. Mm. It was the fact that, and it was never denied by anybody, it was the ANC or government lawyers, sorry, let's not ANC, the government lawyers representing the Treasury and the Speaker of Parliament approached the DA lawyers to can say, let's talk outside, let's settle outside. Yeah. The fact that they moved, I think they were already aware where that case will go.
I think day one already in court, the writing was on the wall.
Yes.
And the fact that there was already, they were already alluding to the fact that maybe the minister is not too au fait when it comes to such matters.
The process is,
I mean, that's a damning statement to come from any justice. About any minister.
And now the EFF is calling for the minister to resign, which I don't think he will. He has already said in a press statement during the course of the week that he will not only, President Ramaphosa can remove him. But it was clear, and for the judge to say that, you see, I think the problem, it's not knowing the processes, because he has been there for quite some time. I think the problem, it was the stubbornness. Because remember, the ANC has been using to having these things and they vote them into power or into law because it was only them sitting in that position with the majority. That's what beat them, you understand? But also remember the judge, found the costs against the government to pay EFF and DA's lawyers, the legal costs. And it is damning for them, but I don't think he will resign in a normal country. Where politicians have honor, he would have resigned.
On yesterday's episode, I was hanging out with the Minister of Communications, Solly Malatsi.
Oh, yes.
And I asked him, does he feel that Minister Godongwana must resign? Mm-hmm. And he didn't give a definitive answer, but he implied that for him, it would be difficult to continue.
Oh, he said if it was him in that position.
That it would be difficult for me to continue.
Look, this is what, this thing is not the first time it happens, Tato. This happens, in government processes. Mm. The minister goes to, the stubbornness was the problem. When they delayed and they went to court and all those things, that was where the problem is. But for a budget vote to be rejected in parliament, those things happen. Mm. And I don't know also why these politicians are so excited about this thing. You know, if you read the Public Finance Management Act, there's exclusions and provisions in the act. When such things happen, what should the government do in the meantime? Because now everything is back to A. Yeah. They must go in the draft the budget and change what they have to change. It's not only the VAT thing. The provision of, I think it's Section 49 of the PFMA, gives the country at least 4 months from the 1st of April when the fiscal year starts, the financial year starts, until the 1st of July. There's that provision of what can the government do in the meantime.
Yes.
For example, they can request funding from the Treasury based on previous year's expenditures, that to pay salaries, rent, and things like that, important things. They can actually use, if I'm not mistaken, up to 45% of the projected revenue to get and up to July. So we still have time until the 1st of July. It is ideal that the budget should be passed before, at least the latest in March. That's the ideal. But lawmakers were very clear when they made provision to say, in case this does not happen, what can the public service do? And I think they are very clear on that. And they should not get excited as if they did not know. I heard many politicians to say, when the budget vote does not succeed, the country will be in chaos, won't be able to operate.
No, but things still happen. Taxes are still collected.
Yes.
Revenue still generated.
Exactly.
It's not like all of us are in our stage.
No. And they should be knowing, as politicians, they should be knowing about those provisions of the Public Finance Management Act.
And to say, for instance, that you need to raise an additional 75 billion is not to say we need it today to press play.
No.
As long as you can generate the additional 75 billion before the next fiscus.
Exactly.
Then you can't not be on track.
And there are various things they can do. They're already talking now about cutting, expenditure, unnecessary expenditure. Those are things they should have considered first. Mm. There's many things that the government can do. They can help SARS to collect more.
Yeah.
No, not to increase the taxes.
Capacitate the SARS.
The SARS to go and collect more, especially from businesses, people who are taking money out of the country. Understand? Because SARS has been complaining that there's a lot of money that's outflowing. And because of incapacity, they are not able to collect. They even gave estimated figures of how much we are losing on revenue because of lack of capacity to can collect, especially from foreign-based companies or companies that are doing business here and they take their capital outflow. Understand? So those are things that the government should focus on instead of just saying we're going to get the 2%, but they should also not lie. The ANC, this made me actually laugh. The ANC said
they were against it also.
They were against it. They said somebody actually in some WhatsApp group says the ANC, the majority of the people in the ANC, they were against it. And I said, but that's nonsense. If the majority were against it, why did the minority get away with it?
Exactly.
If you have a democratic organization, and obviously it was an ANC thing. They should not come and say they never wanted it. It was an ANC thing. And look, this was a slap on their faces. But it's lessons that they are learning. It's not going to be an easy ride being in the GNU.
It's a coalition. I mean, it's a lesson in that's how partnerships work.
Yes.
There's no Miss Party and where you must go sit in the corner and...
Yeah.
And wait for us to finish.
Wait
for the adults to finish talking. If you're a coalition, you discuss these things, you agree on these things, and you move forward as a unit.
Exactly.
That's all. And you can try that in your relationship also. It also works in relationships and marriage. As long as you guys are partners and the left knows what the right is doing, you'll be amazed at how much you can achieve instead of trying to compete. Anyway, let's keep it moving. So Canada has a brand new prime minister.
Yes. What is his name? Carly.
Yes.
Look, the most wonderful thing, if I'm not mistaken, is that actually the Canadians made this possible by getting McCarley to come out of the same party as the previous one. I think they were looking for somebody who can, and they've moved very swiftly, who can, put a Donald Trump in a position to can challenge Donald Trump. This guy is a former banker. He's the former CEO, president of a bank, one of the major banks. He's a business person as well. And highly decorated, in the business sector. Not just a business person like Donald Trump, but he's also being an academic and studied and all that. I think it's a move that will diffuse the tension between the Trump administration and Canada. I have seen President Trump's statement congratulating and, toned down a little bit than what he was with before. Then he changed quickly and say he actually doesn't care who's in power in Canada, is going on with the tariffs, but is open for engagement like he had said he will do with others. Look, it's a good thing for Canada. It will stabilize. Canada depends a lot economically on exports to the United States. A lot of their economy is dependent on exports to the United States. So it will harm them. However, there are also speculations that this new prime minister may actually dump Trump and the U.S. and look for Europe as the new market for their products. So that will irk Donald Trump. So the sooner they get into engagements and talk about this whole thing, the better. Because should he start trading directly with Europe, the US will suffer like there's been already suffering at the moment. Coincidentally, it's 100 days of Mr. Trump in office when all these things happen.
Or some people call it 100 days of hell.
The Americans are saying it's 100 days that brought recession that was never experienced in the last 3 years. They are complaining only about 3 years. But Trump says this is in order to fix, there must be some suffering at some start. It's rattling. And he says the figures are not true that are showing because they stockpiled. Look at his reasoning. He says people stockpiled imports before the tariffs were introduced.
But also the problem with Trump is the fact that not only is he like a petulant child, he also believes his own hype. And he will thumbsuck something and say, because he said it, is the truth. Even if there's data.
Yeah.
I mean, he spoke the other day about how this has been the most successful first 100 days of any administration because many people say so. That's his...
And he believes
that's the stat, because many people say so. And it doesn't help that he's got a very limited vocabulary.
Also, he's also a cowboy style, despite you saying he's more of a child. He's a cowboy, he just shoots from the hip. That's not calculative.
No, child as in he throws tantrums.
Yeah.
If you fact check him, if you call him out on certain issues, there's the issue of the gent that has been sent to a prison in South America.
Yes.
That he was a part of a gang and that there was a tattoo on his... There's a gang tattoo on his...
fingers.
On his knuckles.
Yes.
And the picture that they presented... You can tell the numbers are photoshopped. And I think it was CBS that were interviewing Trump at the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And the CBS... So Trump wants to talk about this thing, that this guy had tattoos. And this guy's like, it was Photoshop. Can we move on to other things? Trump got upset.
Ouch.
That, you know, I thought you were different. I chose you. I gave you this opportunity and you're wasting this opportunity. Because he doesn't want to be fact-checked. He gets upset when he's fact-checked.
I don't know. Again, if he can start using his advisors, you know.
What advisors?
Not your brother from Pretoria.
Yeah.
But the professionals in the office, the for public speaking, speech writers, and all that.
I don't think he has advisors. I think Trump has people that have one job. Whatever he tweets, they must make it happen.
They must make it happen.
That's all. If he says we're landing on the moon in a month. They have a month to get to the moon. That's what I think a lot of his staffers are dealing with.
But for me, you know, looking at it, 100 days, he's done a lot in 100 days, whether it's damage or what.
Yeah.
It is too early for me to say America is going into economic problems and recession. I think it's too early. A lot can happen in 3 months, like we have seen, but a lot can be changed and reversed in 3 months. The only challenge that Trump is going to have is that America is not a labor-intensified production country.
Mm.
They rely on imports a lot. Automobiles, they may be making them, but it's not intense in such, you know, goods. And for export, I mean, they will export to countries like South Africa, but for example, the Ford vehicle, they've got one of the biggest plants outside the U.S. in South Africa, you understand?
Yes.
And they have actually caused a little bit of a trouble for themselves with other countries, especially now. Some BRICS members have started now to talk about how about we trade amongst each other already now at tariffs better than what we were doing when we were doing with the U.S. So it's going to harm them a lot. But Americans importing cheap goods from China, that is their biggest challenge. China had this well planned, and their biggest challenge is China. It's not Africa and Europe, it is China.
Mm.
So the trade war here is actually a trade war between China and the U.S. And I can tell you now, the U.S. is not going to win that battle. China can flood the American market like they've been flooding it indirectly.
Sure.
Depending on who's going to be trading with the U.S.
Mm.
or who the U.S. is not going to impose heavy or stiff trade tariffs on.
Mm.
But China has the market
from
all over, not only the U.S. It will tend them, but they will also increase their tariffs.
Mm.
But all other countries, I don't think they'll be heavily affected.
I laughed the other day when Amazon announced that going forward, they're going to include the price of the tariff on each good that they sell.
Yes.
And
I saw that.
When it was mentioned to the White House press secretary, I can't remember her name, and she mentioned about how you guys are being very political now. There's a word that Trump probably called George Bezos.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're not doing it anymore.
Yeah, no. They had a meeting.
And big business should not be held hostage by any government at that level.
They had a meeting.
Yeah.
And immediately after that meeting, Amazon issued a statement.
Yeah.
And that part that they had posted to show the graph of the tariffs had disappeared. They've removed it.
Mm.
And I think Trump just went to me and said, remove these things. But remember, he has also been backed a lot by business people.
Mm.
And I think the Amazon doing that was just trying to demonstrate to the consumers in the U.S. how much it was costing before and how much it will now cost when the tariffs are there. But there is political interference in that business of Amazon. And Amazon is very big, and they operate not only just outside. They're very big operating outside the world. There's a lot of South Africans who are buying their products from Amazon and various products. So I think there was a political interference in business. But once there's political interference on business, then it means there's a relationship between that particular business and the government.
And chances are it's a corrupt relationship.
Whatever relationship.
No, let's call it what it is. Because if it happened in any other country, we would call it that.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is either they were funding the Trump administration or the campaign, understand, or something, but there is a relationship. And for the you know, a big company like Amazon decides they will take a step back, we don't want to irritate President Trump admin further. It means a lot in politics. But I've said several times that politics is business. Politics, you can't separate it. There's three things you can't separate. It's lies, it's politics and business. Those three, they go hand in hand. Unfortunately, in America, they've got a businessman who's a politician now, like we have in South Africa. And we always thought it would be better to bring a politician in. They're doing it for the second time. We did it for twice, but in the same row. And we always thought when it's a businessman, things will be better. Italy had the prime minister who was a billionaire.
Berlusconi.
Exactly.
The king of Bunga Bunga. Apparently, he was a horny old man, that one. But anyway, moving right along. One of the promises Trump made was about the ceasefire in Ukraine. That he'll come up with a deal in a day. In a day, it'll be done. But Ukraine's prime minister has held what he calls a good and equal minerals deal with the U.S. He says Ukraine are to retain full control over resources and infrastructure under the agreement. So it seems like the mineral deal has been signed.
That is why the I don't know whether it's signed or not, but I think it's there. It's ready. They're prepared. They're ready to sign.
Sure.
But in order for that to happen, there must be ceasefire so that America can benefit from that.
It's been signed already.
Is it been signed?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
That's why now they are putting President Putin under pressure to say he must just, what did Trump say to Putin? Stop firing and sit down and talk. and then Putin put a ceasefire for the Easter, so that people can, as you always say, like the Arab countries, they will stop killing each other during Ramadan. It happened in the World War, that during Christmas people stop fighting. Now that's what President Trump did as well, ceasefire for 3 days, albeit the fact that he started bombing within that 3 days with drones when Zelensky was in South Africa.
Yeah.
You understand? And I think, Tato, that move, personal, and call it conspiracy theory. And this happened last week, so we couldn't talk about it. President Zelensky is scheduled to come to South Africa. We have known about this for long. For an official business visit. 2 days before, or 3 days before, President Putin announces a ceasefire.
Sure.
A day after announcing ceasefire, President Putin is on the phone with President Ramaphosa. The day after President Zelensky or Prime Minister Zelensky arrives in South Africa, within an hour of arriving in South Africa, President Ramaphosa, that Donald Trump has not been talking to.
Exactly. All of a sudden they spoke.
All of a sudden they spoke. You know what I said to people?
Yeah.
It will be interesting for me who called who.
Exactly.
And people were saying to me, but why is it necessary? I said, no, it is necessary. President Trump has not been taking President Ramaphosa's calls. Even President Ramaphosa said the last time they spoke is when he congratulated Mr. Trump during the inauguration. Has not been talking to the South African authorities or embassy. And he called President Ramaphosa. And I'm telling you, what was that call for? To tell Zelensky to go back home.
Sure.
That was the only thing. All other things to say we should meet very soon and what that, they even said it came after. But the purpose of the call was to tell Zelensky to go back home. That's why immediately after that call, Zelensky announced on Twitter that he's going to go back home because he just learned that Russia continue bombing civilians in Ukraine. I mean, people have been bombed every day in Ukraine and for that day. So I think it was an instruction to say send him back home.
Yes.
And he had to leave quickly, so all the government business had stopped. You are already here. Going back home, will it stop the bombing? Will it save the lives of the people?
But it will be the same people who turn around and say, we were being bombed and dying. When are you busy whining and dining with President Ramaphosa?
Why did he leave?
So he's damned if he does, he's damned if he doesn't. Because he didn't anticipate that there'd be that massive bombing all of a sudden as soon as he lands here.
There's been bombing. Maybe it's not being reported. The war between Russia and Ukraine. It's been on. It never stopped. That's why President Trump is asking them to say, guys, can you have a permanent ceasefire? President Trump is not focusing only on life. It's the Americans and NATO who armed the Ukraine, who started this whole thing. He is concentrating on the economic deals and trade with Ukraine and what he wants there, which they can't have while the war is on. By the way, President Putin has also announced now about he's going to give them 3 days ceasefire next week when they celebrate the, what do they call that day, the Victory Day. On the, I think it's the day they defeated the Nazis. The German Nazis, I think the 9th of May.
Okay.
So he's giving them 3 days.
Then we'll be back.
Then we'll be back. We'll start shooting. But Zelensky says, why 3 days? At least make it 10, 20 days. You see how these people are playing with people's life. He still even says, okay, give us 20 days break. Don't bomb us. After 20 days, we can continue. At whose interest are they continuing the bombing and the fighting and the killing?
You know, we live in a sick world. In the bigger scheme of things, that's what it is.
We live in a very sick
world. We live in a sick, depraved world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think the war must come to an end. I think it's about time now. Russia says they haven't achieved their intended purpose. And Ukraine won't reverse. One thing that's going to happen, I can tell you, Russia is not going to leave the occupied, you know, territories of Ukraine. They will not. I think they must accept that those occupied, that they've been occupied for many years, leave them to Russia for peace sake.
Okay, so Russia annexed Crimea in 2014.
Yes.
And Trump is saying part of the deal is let them keep it.
Let them keep it, yes.
Is that where the world is going, though? That we can decide now all of a sudden that we can annex, and because I'm a strong man, I can keep what I've taken?
No, but if you don't have the solution, what can you do? It has been happening in the world.
Can we just give people back the land?
Palestine, one example.
Yeah.
Palestine, Trump himself, he was talking about occupying the Greenland, part of Canada, the Panama Gulf. That's how imperialists operate.
And the rest of the world just watches.
And what can you do when somebody's sitting there with nukes?
If Namibia and Botswana all of a sudden had a massive war with Angola about the Caprivi Strip, and we decide, whoever decides and is in the wrong, they're going to intervene.
Yes, because they've got vested interest there. They want to intervene, but why they don't have vested interest? They don't care, you understand? You know, historically, I don't know if we spoke about it, the fight for Chobe area in Kasane, where Botswana took Namibia to the international court years back. You see, they resolved it that way. You know, they say, no, but the colonialists drew a line somewhere here. This part belongs to Botswana. They even went to international court, and Botswana came out victorious. But because they didn't have vested interest there, the imperialists and the former colonizers, they just let these two resolve their matters in peace. But again, the Caprivi Strip is also, it's volatile, but I think because the two countries, Botswana and Namibia, are level-headed nations.
Sure.
And I said nobody wants to fight there and start, you know, going and terrorize and disturb the peace that is happening with Angola.
Sure. Let's bring it back home. 31 years of democracy. On top of that, obviously remember I said yesterday on the show, we're hanging out with the communications minister, Soli Malatsi, and we touched a bit on the Chief Albert Luthuli inquest,
yes.
Into his murder, because that's probably what it was. And he was talking about the fact that even for him, his mom died under mysterious circumstances, and he's never had closure. because he does not believe they got to the bottom of what caused his mother to die. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's very necessary to have processes like that. Right now, President Ramaphosa is talking about looking at why it is that TRC declared crimes or not declared crimes have not been tried by the NPA.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on all of that?
Look, the families of people who lost their lives during the liberation struggle or the apartheid, yes, obviously many of them, and there's many who especially have been recovered, you know, the bodies of their children or some, the reasons or the causes of deaths of their loved ones, they will still, you know, need closure on that. But this decision of President Ramaphosa was actually reopened by the fact that the Qalata family and others, there was a Qalata that went to the High Court to demand an inquest as well, the same way as...
I think it was the Craddock 4 family members.
Craddock 4 families, yes. Yeah. And the same way as the it happened with the Biko inquest, the same way it happened with Chief Albert Luthuli.
Yep.
So now President Ramaphosa decided there's too many of these applications coming and requests. Let us do a blanket one.
Why do we need a commission of inquiry about why TRC crimes and apartheid crimes have not been tried instead of just trying them?
You know,
why are we not calling Advocate Vusi Pikoli, who said under oath, I was told to drop all of this?
Tato, I don't know why did that happen, and I think it was part of the negotiated political settlement to say it will open wounds, and some people, they never wanted other people to be touched.
And I think they were protecting other people. And I think Vusi Pikoli at the time was serving under Thabo Mbeki.
Yes, yes.
And... But they must also ask your former President Thabo Mbeki, is he aware of people being told, drop all of this?
I think it's sheer madness to have a commission to investigate the outcomes of another commission, because the TRC was a commission itself. Yeah. So you're asking one commission to investigate the outcomes of the other commission. Or why are they not implemented?
Why is there no movement?
Why there's no movement? Mm. I think what the government should have done, because the resolution was taken, the matters were handed over to the NPA.
Sure.
I think the government, instead of having a commission, they should get a set of prosecutors, lawyers, and judges to make a special, what we call it, tribunal for this case, not to be on the NPA list. It should be only for them to focus on that and start trying people.
Mm.
Because names were mentioned, testimonies were given, you understand? They have the base to inform that we can now prosecute.
Mm.
So let them go and prosecute, not to investigate why we didn't prosecute. That is a political statement that I think they should look at what stopped that.
Yeah.
But they must continue with the prosecutions.
Mm.
I mean, the sad part with this thing, that when did TRC happen? I mean, 95, 96, if I'm not wrong.
Mm.
Some of the people who were perpetrators of those things have passed on, some are old, they've lost their memories. You understand how F.W. de Klerk was one of the people who was mentioned.
Sure.
At the TRC, being responsible for giving orders for killing the children of, in inverted commas, APLA forces in the Transgate, kids as young as 12.
It was 29 years ago that all of these allegations were made. So half of these people are very old or they're dead?
Actually, if it's 29 years ago, and these people were almost all of them above 50 at the time, they are 89 or dead.
Mm.
Their memories, their illnesses and all that. It will be unjust, actually. They may go to court and say, I'm not fit to stand trial. Or go there and sit and say, I don't hear anything until you die. I don't understand anything. You understand? So this is the problem of delayed justice.
Mm.
If there was a resolution, you are correct when you say they must go and ask President Mbeki, as the principal at that time, who should have implemented this, why did this not happen? Maybe he will give light into that.
Mm.
And maybe even prosecute those who interfered with the justice process of stopping something that was an order of government, because these commissions come with an order and the government makes a decision. Mm-hmm. But again, when politics interfere with the judiciary or the justice system, we end up in situations like this. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to have some nice guys in suits sitting in a commission making money off the work that was already done. The state that is crying off a very tight budget and a deficit is going to now spend money unnecessary on a commission because somebody didn't do their job. But again, I don't think much will come out of this. Unless people just want to sit and talk and talk and talk, and then the people hear the stories that will be told, the Zondo Commission, we spent almost 2 billion. Where are we?
Yeah.
You know then?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you remember back in, I think it was 2024, last year, Mbeki dismissed TRC interference claims from Pikoli and other ex-NPA officials, saying it's a pure fabrication.
But who fabricated it?
He said that. He says that they are fabricating it.
Like they should not dismiss it. They should explain what happened. Because somebody must be held accountable what happened.
Mm.
You know, Shamila Batoi must be able to go to the file.
Sure.
And the officials there to say what happened. Was there a directive? Where is it? It can't be that it has been quiet, that families now are forcing the government to do this. It can't be that. Luckily, the ANC leaders who have been involved in this, they are almost all of them alive, and they are the ones who are running the country. They were the ones who were deploying their members to be NPA leaders and so forth. So I think questions should be asked politically. Somebody must raise this thing in parliament. I think one of the opposition parties must ask what actually happened. That's what we should investigate.
Yeah.
What actually happened? Why didn't the NPA move with this thing? Because he must be called in. I think he's still alive. He must be called in to come and substantiate whatever is being speculated. It can't be that there's nobody, somebody just sat down and kept quiet. It's impossible.
Yeah, but President Mbeki is on record saying pure fabrication. It's a lie. Okay. No one was instructed to drop everything.
Okay, but he must then say this is the truth.
Yeah.
And then this fabrication, this is the truth. This is what happened.
I'm sure he's saying that I know nothing of what. If people didn't do their jobs there, they didn't do their jobs there. But they must not fire me.
As a head of state, a son of a political stalwart, and President Mbeki, a lot of people, you know, of his comrades died in exile when he was in exile, people he worked with. Even he himself, as the head of state, he should have had interest in this case. Personally, as a person, he lost family members, comrades, friends. He should have had, and not only him, even all other leaders of the ANC, Deputy President Zuma at that time, all other leaders, you understand, they should have had interest because they lost family members, they lost comrades. They know, and again, you know, it's also surprising that it comes from families, it doesn't come from political leaders of this country who actually initiated the TRC. You want to tell me that nobody in the political leaders of this country had interest in the TRC issues? That why is it standing? Is it only families who are concerned? I think there's more to this than just families saying we want closure.
Sure.
And it's families who can have money and can afford lawyers and challenge the government at the moment.
Mm.
Those who can't, tough luck.
Speaking of closure, we have to close. We're out of time.
Yeah. Okay, let's close.
I don't know. Maybe you have...
By the way, this past week, we had two holidays that are very significant.
Yes.
With the 31 years of, you know...
democracy.
Inverted commas, people call it freedom. I don't think we are free. You are not free until you own the land.
Mm.
And then there's a Workers' Day or International Workers' Day or Labor Day, whatever it's called. And you know, it's for me, as I was coming to you, I was reflecting actually on these 2 days that the struggle for liberation in South Africa also had an element of fighting for the working class, also fighting for better working conditions.
Sure.
But when we look at what happened, yes, people can vote. People don't have to carry passes along. We can share toilet with our Afrikaners counterparts. We can live in Verwoerdsburg. Some lives improved. More houses has electricity. But I always say to people, we are making a mistake as a country when we look at the achievements of our freedom or democracy. If we are going to compare South Africa of apartheid, now I'm not talking about the apartheid policies. I'm talking about how Africans lived in South Africa during apartheid and how they live, and you say there's an improvement because you are comparing it with the apartheid regime, we are making a mistake. Mm. Unfortunately, the African National Congress on Democracy had to start at ground zero. Understand? Because everything about apartheid was wrong. Everything. Mm-hmm. So we should look at our achievements for the last 81 years and say, is this what we went into the bush for? Is this what people went to prison for? Mm-hmm. We may have killed other things that were wrong, apartheid, but we gave birth to some of the worst things. You understand? You know, corruption, unemployment in South Africa, those two things are some of the worst things that are getting worse. And crime, if you look at corruption, crime, unemployment, those are some of the things that have become worse in this country. Mm. But also the lack of willingness by politicians to be better people and to serve the nation, that moral fiber. It's very bad. It's waste. Now, I'm not compared with the apartheid one, because the apartheid one, I didn't know what they were doing. They didn't do anything for me. Mm. I'm talking about the standard norms of how leaders of countries, and not only presidents, ministers, DGs, and all that, are conducting themselves. Mm. You look at the Labor Relations Act, which for me is the centerpiece of taking care of the working class.
Sure.
And the new labors that you know, allies of liberation movements like NACTU, COSATU, they fought for this whole thing. Mm-hmm. But you look at what the labor practices in the country are, the protection of employees' rights and all that. That I can tell you, I've been through that whole process. It's in shambles.
Yeah.
It does not help the working class. There's now talks of amending the Labor Relations Act, and some of the things they are bringing in are going to worsen the situation towards the employees. They've actually come with good laws. So I've always said South Africa's good laws. It is the implementation and the functionaries that are supposed to roll those laws out. Mm-hmm. Understand? I you know, I was in court. Finally, I can criticize the labor court without fear.
Yeah.
I've said before, it's useless to have laws and you don't have tools to implement those laws. You are sitting with judges in the labor court who are acting judges. And the only reason that is happening is because the government, the central government, the treasury, is not making resources, money available to can employ judges or absorb the acting ones. Then you've got fully serviced things. We have laws that could make things go faster. But the judiciary does not have the money, and they're lamenting, and nobody is caring. You see, I'm trying to link the Freedom Day and the working class to say, if freedom brought injustice to the working class, even if there are laws to protect the working class, then what are we celebrating? Why are we celebrating this whole thing that there's labor courts in Africa, there's the CCMA, and then there is no money? Everybody's acting. Mm. They are on stage. You know, they are performing artists on stage, these people. They're acting. You're not sure whether you are going or coming. Mm. We have people who have been acting judges for over 5 years, 9 years, 10 years. Mm. And that is an unjust process. That is very unjust that only people with money have access.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of money. You know, there are cases that happen. People are in court, agent application tomorrow, next week. But the working class and the poor, you know, the domestic servants, what do they do if there is unfair labor practices? And for me, I'm saying, when it comes to employment on the week of celebrating Workers' Day, there's nothing to me and you, we are unemployed anyway. There's nothing to celebrate when the numbers of unemployment, you know, we are being counted there, are going up every year. There's nothing to celebrate. You see kids with, you know, qualifications roaming the streets, and employers exploiting employees. There's nothing to celebrate for the working class. Let the government use the resources where they need them most. One of the things that can improve the economy of this country It's if you can have money for court so that cases must run fast,
yes.
People must go back to their own lives, then people will generate income. One of the things that I'm following, there's a research that was done about the four-day week. I don't know if you've heard about that.
Yes.
The Colorado University or something, like they did a study about a four-day week.
Yes.
We must move from the five-day week. They say it has been tested in some areas, but the research has shown that it can actually improve productivity because people tend to perform better when they are happy with their social life and private life. So if you give people one more day as a weekend, they'll be doing more productivity. I'm a lazy person naturally. I will support the four-day week with all my heart. Understand? But we have seen also, I only woke up this morning and said, hey, by the way, it's been 5 years since COVID lockdown.
Mm.
5 full years.
Yeah.
And did economies collapse? Yes, they suffered because we were locked down. But that practice of 3 days in and 2 days out, you can work from home, we should have built from that too, because it demonstrated that in some jobs, it can be done that people, and once you don't have stressed wives and husbands at work, you can save money because then they don't come there to spoil the electricity and do the coffee and sit and not being productive because they are stressed with their spouses back at home.
Mm.
So the more the happy the nation is,
so
the more productivity will come out.
That we have a value chain of happiness.
Exactly, exactly. Mm. We'll get the value chain out of that.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I just wanted to mention those comments, Brother Man.
Great stuff. Thank you so much, Brother B.
Thanks,
I appreciate Brother. You, as always. When is the outcome from the courts? Do we know? Are you allowed to talk about it?
No, what did the judge say? He said he realized that this is important and she will do her best to give it as soon as possible. I'm expecting it in 2 weeks, maximum 3.
Okay.
So she sounded like she wants to get this.
So would this be the final then? Then
yeah,
we're done.
No, that will be final. That will be final, final. Well, there's no final in legal things. We may be going to an upper court.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm hoping for the best outcome.
Where do we find you online, sir?
Botsangm@gmail.com or 082-485-9100 on the telephone line, and then @Botsangm on social media handles.
Hey, Tata. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Appreciate your work.
Thank you, Bob.
Another episode of Wow What a Week, #Politrix with Botsang Modimoame Moilwa. We are coming to you from AMP Studios, downtown Johannesburg. Hit them up if you're looking for space, if you're a creative, you want to start a podcast, you want to record a podcast, you're looking for recording studios. We have gang recording studios at AMP Studios, so hit them up and book your spot. We are part of the Africa Podcast Network. Email waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Shout out Trevor and Pezulu Works for the cinematography. Shout out YBF for the social media behind the scenes. And Keletso Modisa King, our executive producer, who is back from maternity leave next week. She says she can't anymore.
She can't stay home anymore.
No, she says she can't. And I won't. I told her, you know what, take all the maternity leave you want. It's fine. But you're going to lose your mind. Because at some stage, this child will have a routine and they want to eat and sleep. And then you're there twiddling your thumbs, bored.
You talk like you have given birth before.
I have raised enough kids to know that for some people, yes, maternity leave is good and you need it.
Mm.
But for other people, they still need the routine of a bit of work, even if it's just 3-4 hours a day. Just to slot it in and
to
get
slot
it done.
It in, yeah.
So, yeah, our mother is back next week.
Oh, that's good.
Cannot wait. Thank you for hanging out with us. Until next week, have a wow week in spite of yourselves.